Let's bring in Craig Bolanos. He's with the Wealth Management Group in Chicago. Craig, 275 is what my machine says, and an unemployment rate of 3.9. What say you?
275. Boy, you said in your opening salvo again, Scott, you always bet the over, but at least I'm happy we got some revisions to that aberration was January, because there was no way we put that many people to work. But the 3.9% unemployment rate, pretty sure the State of the Union speech didn't want that after we started that speech at 3.7 and now we're 3.9. So what's all this going to mean for markets? I think it's actually going to be okay with the revisions that we got, because again, this data too from February could get revised lower once we get to the end of March. What does it mean? I think rate cuts still remain intact in June, and that means the Magnificent Seven and the AI revolution is going to continue to revolutionize 401ks all across the planet.
Well, I agree with the second part. It was interesting, though. Yesterday, I had a fairly well-respected economist from Kansas City, but he's with, I don't know if you've heard of StoneX. It used to be FC Stone. It was a big clearer in Chicago. Still is, I guess. But he sat down and he says, you know, I do 67 media hits a month. That's a lot. It's part of his job, though. He has to do that, right? And he was in town giving at a conference, and he was the keynote. And I said to him, what do you think about rates? He's like, I think we're not going to do anything right now, and I think there's a very high likelihood of a hike. I'm like, awesome. I love a little controversy. So he laid it out for us on the Market Day Report. He was on my show, per se. He did later come back to be on my show because we did something on a food shortage, but it was interesting to hear him line up his reasons why, and it was hard to refute. Now, I think there's a high likelihood both camps get what they want. There's the camp that thinks that stocks are crazy high right now. I'm kind of in that camp, but there's also those that think that we're going to get a bunch of rate cuts, right? So what happens is we have a 5-7% sell off in stocks, and the Fed will cut rates, so both camps get what they want. That's what I think is going to happen. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's probably fine. Now, I understand, but oh my heavens, Scott, can you only imagine that if, in fact, we didn't have rate cuts, we ended up with a rate hike? That means legitimately almost everyone on the planet is caught off sides, with the exception of the people who are on Recession Island, which are very far and few in between. And legitimately, overnight, you would have to reprice the Dow Jones Industrial Average from 39,000 back down to 32,000. That's where we were in October. I mean, that feels like Armageddon to me in an overnight scenario. So I can only hope that that man is wrong.
Well, he makes a good point. Inflation's getting hotter. It's not going down. And he laid out all the things that are showing that it's hot. And if you were looking to cut rates, as the Fed is supposed to be doing, they haven't gotten any signals that that's going to happen. And it's going to make it very difficult for him, he says. So it was interesting. I mean, I don't think we're going to get...
It is interesting. But I think, Scott, the better story is what you highlighted when we talked about this a month ago when the January jobs data came out. I mean, we just revised it from 350,000 jobs to 229,000 jobs. Are the same people counting the jobs, counting the ballots at the box? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, no, but you know what? And also to, like, the 12th standard deviation, we've seen jobs numbers be revised lower almost every month. There's been a couple in the last 2 years, I think, they didn't revise them lower, which is also a statistical almost impossible. I mean, it's crazy. And so I don't know what the answer is. I think the best thing I've ever heard anybody say, we had an analyst on about, I don't know, 6 months ago, and he said, I just hope I live another 25 years so I can read about the garbage that was going on right now.
Right? It's probably true. You know, now that being said, I do want to address one last thing, if you give me the chance. You know, some people are consistently throwing around the word bubble. You and I have talked about this on your television program twice now in the past 90 days. I don't think the Magnificent Seven are in a bubble. I just give you two comparisons that I'm preparing for my group this morning in our research meeting. The big tech names today pulled down $1.8 trillion in revenue. I jumped in my time machine, and the big tech names in 2000 were only doing $149 billion. And best of all, big tech today, 31 times earnings looking forward, big tech back then 133 times. I don't know.
I think you're right. I like what you had to say. I use some of your stats when I talk about it because I do think that the stock market's ahead of itself, but you know he can do that longer than I'll stay solvent. So I'll just let it do what it wants to do. I'm not getting in the way. However, back when I remember the tech boom very, very clear. I was in London and we were doing business through it. And the biggest thing is that you highlighted it on my show is that, you know, back then those companies, you throw .com behind them and suddenly they took off. Like you said, the earnings were the ratios were crazy and none of them were making money. But now AI, these people are actually making a lot of money. So I think that's the biggest difference. One didn't make money, one did.
Right, and that doesn't mean we eventually don't get into a bubble. But the fact that everyone's talking about it actually means we're not in it, because back then no one was talking about it. You and I visited on the concept of the AI gold rush. I mean, AI is the gold rush of San Francisco, California in 1848, and it's all good up until we find out that there's not as much gold as we thought, a.k.a. are the 493 non-technology companies in the S&P 500 going to be able to leverage AI to increase profitability and sustainable cost reduction? And if the answer is yes in the years to come, wow, this is transformative and seminal. If no, well, all this cloud computing everyone's buying and all the chips that power it, guess we don't need as much of them as we had hoped.
All right. Great stuff as usual. Always take the over. Thank you very much, Greg Milanos. Have a great weekend. He's the CEO and co-founder of the Wealth Management Group in Chicago. We're going to go away. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to come back and talk more after this.